Happy Monday, beautiful people. Thank you again for tuning in to Align with Plants, Align with Health. This is Lanita, season 6, episode 57, coming in to round up this season 6, wrap up the winter season. I know we have a few more weeks before winter is officially over. Pisces season is coming, or is it here? What is today? I think it's tomorrow. It's very soon. Late winter, it's time for spring, and we'll be coming back with the show in late March, in the spring, in a brand new part of the country. So wrapping up the season with a conversation with a dear friend of mine, and I'm really excited to have her here and to share her energy and her enthusiasm and her work, because she's a worker and she's doing work and she takes it seriously, and I'm excited to know her and be able to support it. So I'm going to go ahead and read a bio about my friend on the line. Ayomide is a lover of dance, music, art, and people. Her goal is to bring all that she loves about life into the hearts, minds, and bodies of others. Ayomide has been dancing all of her life, and her first performance started at the age of 3, pretending to be the glorious Tina Turner in her mother's living room. As a teen, she found belly dancing and has been continuously studying for the last 20 years. She gives all the credit to the women who have taught her and are still teaching her today. Other passions, in addition to belly dance, are yoga, ecstatic dance, meditation, and chocolate. Like, that's a good lineup there. Ayomide was the principal event designer, DJ, and co-facilitator of the largest ecstatic dance production in Portland for 4 years. She enjoys creating environments where the people can go to the edge of their comfort zone and study themselves. Another way she takes people to their personal edge is through yoga. Ayomide believes that yoga is a tool for social justice and community bridging. She currently teaches kaleidoscope community yoga and a yoga class that supports humans of color here in Portland, Oregon. Kaleidoscope yoga creates an environment where people learn to deepen their ability to build physical relationships with people through touch, yoga, sacred geometry, and images. Students of this practice deepen into their personal yoga journey by learning what it means to share one. Her class, Humans of Color Yoga, is a practice to get indigenous and peoples of the diaspora to move away from a culture of destruction and engage in a culture of self-care. Ayomide is the co-creator of Chakralot Meditation Botanical Chocolates, which are divine. She believes that meditation can be a delicious journey that everyone can experience. Chocolate can be used as a sweet treat or a tool to support you investigating at your deepest self. Ayomide currently teaches at Dance with Joy Studios, the People's Co-op, and Portland Community College. Ayo, you on the line?
Yeah. Wow, that sounded good.
Hey.
I like that.
Hey, Capricorn.
I haven't had it read back to me before, so I'm like, hey, hey, hey.
Girl, Capricorn is in Saturn. It's your season. It's Cap season.
Yep.
I'm excited about
yep.
it. Thanks yep. for being on the show, love. Thank you for joining
yeah.
us.
My pleasure.
Yeah, bringing your energy to it. Io and I connected when my family and I first moved to Portland a few years ago, though the connection, although it was definitely lifetimes, was already like 10 years behind that through my family. So just a true sister. We used to be really close in proximity in the city and spent a lot of time together. And I haven't seen you as much now, but man, I'm just so thankful that the earth brought us together here.
Yeah, definitely me too. Yeah, definitely soul sisters for sure.
Girl, so, all right. So we're here to talk about all of the really exciting things you have going on right now in Portland. I've just enjoyed learning and knowing and watching you grow and develop and continue to do the work. You're a worker, and I appreciate it. So let's get going. I'd love to start out and kind of start out with all of my conversations, all of my friends that come on to talk about how they're healing and their healing work. I want to hear a little bit about your background, where you come from. You know, do you have other people in your life that use similar healing modalities as you? And for all of my people, too, I have to ask, were you and are you the black sheep of your family? So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, those are all really interesting questions. We were a household of black sheep, I think is the best way of describing my family.
Nice.
So my mom decided to move to the east, to the west coast from the east coast initially. So it's been, you know, it's been an interesting, like, experience having East Coast family and, living on the West Coast.
Yeah.
She moved out here because she wanted to be part of plants and trees and air and everything beautiful. But as far as myself, so I consider myself black sheep. I'm a black sheep of black sheep.
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah, so, my mom, she actually is into healing modalities now at this time. She started off as a woman who loved the maths and sciences and then decided to go into art therapy. Mm. And now she does Reiki and massage, and she works in Canada doing all that beautiful stuff. So,
nice.
I guess I kind of, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, I suppose. Seeing that happen with her later in life, but that was something that I was always drawn to even before she decided to go into that. So it's interesting how things kind of like circulate or like, you know, cycle, you know. Mm-hmm. She came into healing and the arts after I did, which is kind of weird because she's my mom, but
yeah.
You know, we follow each other, I guess, is one way of you know, saying that about our families. So
for sure. And even as mothers now, I can recognize like how challenging it must have been for my mom when I was young and the work she was doing, you know. So it's kind of like as we're coming of age, they're kind of just getting out of that crazy mom work. So maybe it's even really natural for that to happen.
Yeah. I think that, you know, sometimes we give birth to our teachers. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I feel like that with my own children or mm-hmm. with my own child. You know, he's an amazing soul, and I've learned so much from him. And, you know, maybe we're doing that for our parents, too.
Yeah.
So I can only hope.
I think, yeah, that's deep. That sounds like that's got to be near what's real.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes it's sometimes things are backwards. I mean, like, time isn't necessarily linear like we always think it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's spirals and circles and other things that we can only imagine.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and spirals and circles, that's a beautiful way to lead into what I think we'll talk about first. And you actually just had a beautiful performance today. I actually saw you today and got to see your beautiful, I don't want to say costume, but your beautiful garment, your beautiful outfit for a belly dance today. You performed today. So, and you've been doing it for a long time. You've been moving your hips and gyrating that core for a while. and it's a real thing though. This is a real true, modality of healing. And, why don't you just bless us with a little bit of that love? 'Cause we haven't really talked about that before on the show.
Yeah, well, wow. Well, let's just start off. Yeah, I performed today for my teacher who turned 80 years old today.
Wow.
And, you know, one of the reasons why I chose this dance form in my youth was because of its ability to harness my sexual energy in a way that was healthy and beneficial for my body, and just it was a way for me to honor my feminine spirit without having to I don't know, fall into like the traps of society, because I could see that's not where I wanted to be. I started off more as a super tomboy, and when I was introduced to this dance, I realized that it was a fantastic way of being able to drop into my own personal core and honor my feminine, you know, in all its aspects. And, you know, this woman that I've been taking from for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, is purely woman. Like, she's a mother, she's a grandmother, she's a great-grandmother, wow. You know, and it's amazing to watch her. And she started late in life. It wasn't like she started as a teen like me. She started in her 40s, 30, you know, she was 39 when she started this dance form, and then turned around and had a baby at that time. Like, wow. She started her dance, and then she got pregnant and had a baby and continued dancing and continued being a mom and a grandmother at that time. I mean, it's her story is fantastic. And, you know, for me, as one of her students that she teaches to teach, you know, I'm truly honored to like be able to pass that on to other people and other women to be able to like be in tune with their center, their core, their sexual power, their, you know, ability to honor themselves as women. And that's a big thing for me. Just to be able to see her in her glory at this beautiful time in her life is inspiring for me, because I know I'm going to be able to move my body in that way for the rest of my life. This dance is going to feed me, you know, feed my core.
Yeah, I was going to say, keep me really strong. About the core, right? Like, it's really nourishing, literally, that fire, that fire.
Oh, yeah.
Within. Yeah.
It's teaching you how to pick up, you know, what you know, this earth has to offer, move it through yourself. And the thing that actually, strangely enough, today, as I was walking home from the store, thinking about the dance that I had just done, and, you know, everything that my teacher has seen me go through in the past few years with my body, it's also a tool to be able to let go, to know how to let go of the fire and give yourself rest. Mm. And I was astonished as I was walking down the street. I felt myself, I was like, oh, I can pick this up and I can let it go and give it back, you know, give it back to the mama, give it back to this planet, and it will nourish me even there. Because I'm putting part of me into the ground with it, you know? And it was just like, it was fascinating. Like, I have to admit, it was fascinating. So I know that whatever I pull in with this movement, with this ability to transmute energy, I can let it go and still be supported. I don't have to hold on. And I think that's one of the things that women in general, we hold on and we overwork ourselves sometimes and we forget to let go. And to be able to have a practice that teaches you to pull up, be strong, and to let go, I think it's just amazing. And, you know, it helps keep you able to be here doing the work. Yeah.
It's
definitely like, about core power.
and that feels like a lot of the lesson of the earth, which she shares with us is, you know, especially living up here in the Pacific Northwest, every, you know, we're getting prepared to go into spring. So we're going to be pulling up, all this energy is going to be pulled up into the world, and we're going to have all these beautiful colors and greens and flowers. And then it shrinks right back down into that world and takes all of those colors and vibrancies along with it. So it's beautiful how many ways she shares these healing messages, you know, and how many different modalities.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I 100% agree. And like to think, like, you know, when it gets dropped down into, you know, the dark place, the unknown in it, you know, that it's being held and nurtured, and it's going to come back. And it's the fact that it's a cycle in that way is so, it's such a blessing, you know, it's such a blessing. And the fact that plants express that, you know, every year, every time they like recede back into the ground and their seeds come back up, or for a tree when it recedes back and it pulls all its energy back into its roots. Yeah. You know, I find it's fascinating. It's beautiful. And like this dance form, it emulates that. Mm. It emulates that cycle that happens, like, when we're really starting to know our own bodies. And that's why what's really fascinating about this particular dance cycle is that it gets better as you get older. Mm. You know, unlike some others where you get burnt out by a certain age because you've worn out your body, with this dance for it, it ripens with you. Mm. You know, it's like fine wine. Mm. You know, even better than that, you know, because it's just it really tells a story. Every time you go through a cycle, you learn something new about your body, and when you're using your body and moving in this way, you literally do learn something, a new muscle, a new way of transmuting energy, you know, a new way of taking a breath, a new way of looking at your life. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Mm. Because, I mean, literally this dance has saved my life more than once. Yeah. You know, not just on like a metaphysical level, but on a physical level. Like the fact that I was able to know what's going on in my center, in my body, mm. because I've been teaching myself how to listen to my body. And, you know, we're so in this, you know, in our current situation, in our current society, we get pulled out of our centers all the time, you know, and it really does take work to be able to pull yourself back in and find your own space and your own time and your own place mm. and your own rhythm.
Yeah, man, that's what seems like where our peace really is lying, was within our own rhythm, is finding mm. our rhythm. And just staying as true to that as we possibly can. And for me, that's the greatest magic of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we talked a little bit about plants and their connection and their, you know, messages that they share with us about it. But I also, you know, one of the first times I came over to your house in Selwood and sat in your, in that altar of a room is how I always felt, like I was literally sitting in an altar. The crystals were really exciting for me because before Portland, I really didn't have any experiences with crystals or feeling or connecting with crystals. But since being here, I've had multiple experiences and just this awareness that this too is the living earth in our hands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you could share a little bit about crystals. I want to get more conversation going on the show about all of these other ways the earth shares these messages.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even just how crystals work with that core work as well. Yeah, just tell us a little bit about your collection.
And you took me to the gym.
You took me to the gym fair too. You were the one.
And yeah, I was the one.
Do you remember finding that selenite wand? Do you remember?
Oh man, yes, selenite, so beautiful. And I mean, when you look at it, it looks like wood, which I think is even more fascinating.
Oh man. Well, do you remember you were like standing above one that I wanted and you basically like pointed at it. I don't even remember the story now. I was hoping you kind of did, but it was something super magical. You found what I was looking for and you're like, here you go, right here. It's beautiful.
Well, I mean, it's funny that you mentioned that, because one of the things that I really love about crystals is the fact that, like, I mean, especially depending on what kind you get, you know, you get ones that are, you know, that have like one of my favorites is moss agate. Okay. Mm-hmm. For two reasons. One, it's an agate. So it's, you know, its whole journey is with the water. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fascinating. I mean, the whole reason why it's become crystallized is because of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the moss in it, which means that moss is ancient. Ancient.
Yeah.
You know, it's ancient. That means that rock has all the memories of the water, which is fabulous, in, you know, solidified, as well as like the memories of a plant. And a lot of times it's still green when you're looking at it. So, you know, it's like locked in that chlorophyll, which is, you know,
life.
How amazing is that, that you can have crystallized chlorophyll, I've always, like, stones have, I don't even know how my connection with stones even happened. I mean, it's just been since I was born. At one point I wanted to, like, be a geologist because I love stones and crystals so much. You know, because, I mean, they're amazing. I mean, they're ancient people. They're an ancient vibration, you know, before, I mean, depending on you know, where you are before even the plants mm-hmm. were there.
Yeah.
These crystallized beings existed.
Yeah.
You know, so they not only have memories of the formation of this planet, but they have memories of formation of all the different forms of life here.
Mm.
You know, and that to me is incredible. And then, like I said, you know, when you start getting some of the younger stones that actually are like plants, like petrified wood,
mm.
okay? Petrified wood is so awesome because a lot of times it has crystallized, you know, forms in it. And it's petrified because it's turning into a crystal. So it has the memory of being a forest.
Wow.
In it, you know, yeah. along with, you know, like all this knowledge of being earth. Like mm-hmm. it's fascinating how one element turns into another, you know, and we see it a lot of times with water turning into steam or fire, you know, fire burning things and turning it into carbon. But to see like these things that are, you know, carbon based turning into earth, basically mm. a wow. crystallized form. I mean, fantastic, you know,
yeah.
fantastic. I don't know. Like, actually I do know, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Hello. wait a minute.
No, I do know. Like, the relationship to, you know, the human form, what crystals do for us is they're our teachers if we're willing to take a moment and actually listen. And just, you know, and it's so, like, it's subtle. It's that subtle energy, you know, and when thinking about, you know, like for me as a dancer, thinking about using crystals with my movement or with whatever I do, you know, I think about the energy that I'm pulling in is subtle, and this is what these crystals do on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Like they move energy. I mean, think about like what diamonds do when they play music on a record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're moving energy.
Yeah.
They're creating sound for, you know, it's like, I mean, just all the magical things that we do. I mean, the fact that we could sit here and talk on a cell phone is because of crystalline.
Mm.
It's crystals that make that happen.
Yeah.
You know, the silicon, you
yeah.
know, all that. It's yeah. just, it's fascinating.
She
that
provides
they're teaching.
Everything.
Right. Well, she does. And you know, the thing too is that she's showing us that we can do it because we are part
yeah.
of her.
Yes.
You know, we are part of her.
Yes.
You know, we're doing all this stuff on the outside, but we are just like, we are this.
Yes.
We have every bit of element. We are like every single element. And we can produce it on the outside, which means we definitely can produce it on the inside.
Mm.
As long as we remember and allow ourselves to remember and focus on like that wavelength of knowing thyself, like truly knowing thyself.
Mm-hmm. And just,
you know,
responding.
Knowing, yeah, knowing your axis,
mm.
knowing your core,
mm.
you know? Yeah. It's definitely like knowing your core, and that not just like, when people, like, it's so funny nowadays because you hear people talk about the core and they're only talking about your abdominals.
Mm, yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah,
we're missing that. You missed the, yeah, the core work. It's like, you're missing the train.
Yeah.
You know, it's much deeper than that. And it also is much more than that. You know, your heart center is your core.
Yeah.
You know?
When I kind of said, like, that whole body right here, this whole, you know, this whole little body part here where all this fire is at, it seems like it's a very intricately interdependent core that shifts energy back and forth, up and down. It's really dependent. It seems like the heart and the gut are dependent upon one another, you know, to be able to do anything.
Yeah, yeah. They're a conduit. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, basically from your anus to the top of your head. But, I mean, let's just start with, like, your anus to your mouth. That's
yeah.
like your, that's like,
your lifeline.
That's, bam. You know, that's your direct route to mama.
Mm.
Because you
Ooh.
Eat and you release.
Your direct route to mama, hey.
You know,
and she provides what goes in and she needs what comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
it's like to get caught up on either one too much seems for me, for the little Pisces in me, it's like I can't get caught up on either one.
No.
You know?
No. No.
That's beautiful. That's a really, I'm thankful for that. That's beautiful.
And think about it. If you're looking at our bodies, let's say we're going to talk just about our bodies. If we're going to talk about, you know, okay, if that part is our root to mama, then, you know, the sprout, you know, that comes from our voice, and then it works all the way up and then to our, you know, astral plane where we come, you know, our higher selves and our upper, you know, our soul bodies. Those are the flowers, you know, and those are the ones that have all the beautiful colors and, you know, when people talk about seeing auras and they see in purples and greens and blues and all that, the rainbow, you know, like, that's the subtle.
Yeah.
That's the flower of us. You know, so it's like, yeah, we are very similar to the plant life we eat,
and to the earth. We're literally just all copycat, expressions of the same energy.
Yep.
And it's necessary we look different and be different, you know, because we're dependent upon each other.
Well, as they would say in some books, say like as above, so below. You know, the microcosm, the macrocosm, they're all the same, you know. They're just, you know, repeats of the same cycle within the cycle. Within this plane, you know.
And we know it's coming from an unconditional loving mother because we're both mothers and we feel that unconditional love. And I feel like once you're a mom, you just know for sure. And it's not to say people who are not mothers can't come to this understanding as well, but once you live for another being, as a mother does, that came from your womb, you realize, man, like, we're in good hands here, you know? Like, we really can trust the overall expression of Mother Earth because it comes from an unconditional, loving heart, you know? So it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's definitely real. Definitely real.
So real. We can really just pull yoga into this conversation a little bit because...
Oh. That's absolutely
hardcore core work. Yeah.
Yep.
So you started doing the yoga for people of color a couple of years ago, I think, and you recently had yoga teacher training last summer, I believe you finished that. So tell us a little bit about your yoga journey and maybe even how you connect that with belly dancing, or because this is all obviously working together really perfectly, and you know, it's that fire work that you're doing in there.
So for me, like, if you want to connect, like, the belly dancing with yoga, well, for me, belly dancing is yoga. Let's start there first, because I've been doing yoga for a long, long time. And then I chose to do another form, you know, like, you know, there's different practices, and I chose to get into more of the, you know, vinyasa and the partner yoga and yin, and it's been very, very, very enriching, very good for me, and it has definitely brought me to my core in another way.
Yeah.
Especially working with a partner, doing partner yoga and group yoga has also enriched my personal practice. And, you know, just realizing that I need to be more in line with my core in a way that stills myself has been very nice. Cause like with the belly dancing, I'm learning how to move like a conduit through my core. And I mean, I know that they do have similarities in the stillness part, but I know with what I've experienced with the yoga, it really prepared me for the meditation aspect, which was also which is stilling my mind and stilling myself in a different way. Cause I've had always done movement meditation. And to, like, learn how to exercise my body enough and get myself limber enough to be able to sit still was why I chose to start doing, like, another practice of yoga. it actually came about when I decided to take a 10-day meditation retreat. Silent meditation retreat. And, you know, with this practice, you sit and you don't move. You're sitting and you're in silence. You're not talking to anybody. You know, you're within your own body. And my body could not stay still. Like the practitioner could see how much power is coming through my body. You know, I hadn't trained it to actually be able to sit and just be. Like, I'd always been moving and doing and going, and when I didn't want to go into some sort of meditation place, I just danced my way through. Hmm. You know, to be able to be in a place where I could sit and actually, like, feel the power and allow the power to go through me was definitely something more challenging. So I realized after that, that event, that I needed to work more on yoga to be able to really be able to sit with the power, not just be in movement and move it out through me like a conduit, but actually be able to be a placeholder for it. Mm. And realize that, you know, this is old medicine, you know, that our people have been wanting us to have for a long time. The fact that we're here in the States and we've lost a lot of memory of who we were and what practices we've brought to the world. You know, it's been interesting to have it come through, you know, through, like, you know, me reading books and seeing, you know, non-folks of color teaching it and bringing it to people of color. And, you know, for me, like, I realized, wait, this is old medicine. This is old work that I know in my core and my center, if I'm able to sit still enough and, like, pay attention enough. And, you know, don't get me wrong, it's good to get outside perspective about everything if you can, you know, as a reflective, you know, a reflective, but it was a wake up call for me that I needed to be able to show this to my other brothers and sisters who are wanting to find that peace and serenity within themselves, and for them to know that it is them. It is part of them. It is, like, it is inner knowledge. It's not something that they have to go out and get. It's inner knowledge, and that it can come from a person that understands their experience. Am I making sense here?
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Because totally. I know sometimes I might go on a little tangent, but I just,
Grandma Pisces, you know. With Mercury and Pisces.
But, like, I mean, for me, like, being in the Pacific Northwest, I didn't see a lot of brown faces.
Yeah, period.
And I certainly didn't see a lot of brown faces doing the stuff that I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the yoga, as far as, you know, this belly dance work, as, you know, all these things. And every time I looked, they came from dark places. They came from dark skinned, melanated individuals. And yet I wasn't seeing anybody doing that work here.
Mm.
And it confused me.
Yeah.
It confused me because when I even went to, like, the seminars, you know, by, you know, people that studied it that are, you know, European or, you know, from other places, you know, they were learning it from, you know, these indigenous people from different places. And I was like, wait a minute, wait a second. That means this knowledge is already in me.
Yeah.
Because it's been passed down from my family tree. You know, whether I recognize it visually or not, it's in me cellularly, you know? So, you know, learning how to, like, go within and know thyself and, you know, find the meditation, you know, within myself has been something that I want to show others that they can do. Mm. You know, it doesn't have to come from a book. It doesn't have to necessarily come from, you know, all these, like, super expensive, you know, workshops. I mean, don't get me wrong. They have some amazing tools. And I feel like, you know, I am privileged to be able to have taken some classes. But even when I was sitting there, I remember sitting in the class being like, I know all this. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of this already, you know, without having it be taught to me. Like, it woke up, you know, it just needed a little flick almost. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you remember this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is, like, this is what I was doing before. This is what my mama was teaching me.
Mm.
You know, without even her knowing she was teaching me, like, for me to sit in one place and focus, like, truly focus, she was teaching me how to, like, empty my mind and meditate as a discipline, you know, like strange things like that. Like when you go back into family, like my family was teaching me these principles in ways that were truly confusing, you know, truly confusing. I'll just say that again. But when I came back to it in a more like, I don't say more relaxed form, I'm like, wait, I know a lot of this by the ways that my family taught me, but they weren't, I wouldn't say they weren't necessarily the most pleasant.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, it usually came with discipline, so I mean, it's a little bit different. Yeah.
It came as discipline. Yeah. And guess what? The crazy thing is that when you listen to what these people are saying, they're saying it's discipline.
Yeah.
They're calling it the same thing, but then, you know, there's, you know, unfortunately, there's been baggage with our own personal discipline for us not to catch on to some of these things that were really important. Like discipline doesn't necessarily mean pain and strife and struggle. Mm-hmm. It just it's means just focus and exactly. grounding.
Yeah.
And I'm coming back. Like, for example, when I ground my son, when he's like, okay, you're grounded. For me, being grounded doesn't mean, oh, you're in trouble, I'm going to take everything away from you and da 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 da. It's like, nope. You're grounded. You need to be home. You need to get
on the ground. Yeah.
You need to figure out where you messed up your own flow, where you're not connected again.
Yeah.
You know, get grounded. You know, and look me in the eye and show me that you're back on track, and then you can go and do as you do because you're grounded and you're back and you can go back into the world.
Yeah.
You're not going to be flying off the deep end doing some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
You know. So.
That's deep, Io. I love that conversation, especially about the discipline that people of color have with raising their children. There truly is a difference. And being biracial, I just can see both sides so clearly. And,
yeah.
And I know your past as well in terms of living in that black and white world.
Yeah, I lived in a mixed household, period. Yeah. So I may not be biracial, but all my brothers and sisters are.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's very different. Obviously not all, right? There's plenty of people of color who do not raise their children, or they raise their children with very low discipline. And there are people, you know, that are white folks that do as well. So obviously there's differences, but it's a challenging thing to really always to like see for me being in the middle, but there's a discipline that comes out of especially black homes. And even though I try to raise my children in this really free way, I recognize, dang, I'm still super disciplined. I can't shake it. It doesn't seem appropriate to prepare them for any other way other than that life.
Because that's what's real.
Yeah. And definitely it's for people of color in this world and in this country. You definitely have to have a particular discipline to, you know, to just get through certain interactions, even personal, you know, neighborhood, you know, stuff. It's interesting.
And it's different wherever you go, which is even more interesting, depending on what part of the country you are choosing to live in.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a kind of, you know, and you have to be adaptable. I think that's like the most important discipline to give our children at this point is to be adaptable.
Adaptability, yeah, that's truth. And then also adaptability and yet the firm grounding in who they are. And so no matter where you go, and no matter where you're at, because you are going to be in such different environments, you better still show up and be yourself.
Be you. Yep. Know thyself.
Yeah.
First rule, know thyself before anybody else. Mm. You know?
And it's not like it's, you know, a quick task. So take your time.
No, definitely far from it. I'm still on that journey myself.
Give thanks,
I've been here a minute.
Right? Give thanks, girl. What else could we do, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, I know that before we wrap this up, we guys have some really new, fun things, exciting things in your life going on right now. We just opened a new business in Sellwood. Bringing a whole other energy into all of this, working to grow your work. So tell us a little bit about that. The name of the shop is Melu.
Melu.
And this is in Sellwood, Oregon, on 13th, right?
Yep, 13, the 8012 Southeast
13th. Hey, go check her out, Portland. It's a really amazingly beautiful store. I was so impressed just walking in. And, tell us a little bit about what you guys got going on in Selwood.
Well, it's funny that we've been talking about the center or our core, because Melu translates into middle place.
Ah.
So it's the center where everything comes from, where everything, you know, what you're shaped by. Yeah. You know, that's what Melu means. It's like all like the your environment around you that shapes you. This particular storefront, it's curated retail. So it's, you know, everything is that we sell in there is, you know, is love. Period. Yeah. I mean, we have different vendors. It's a co-op or a collective of shops, and they all have something to bring that is about love. So we have one woman, her name, the shop is called Amara, and she does social impact products. You know, everything that she sells is from, you know, a place where they wouldn't necessarily be able to sell their products, and they have people out, go in and, you know, work with them and do fair trade and direct trade with them and sell their products in the States and have people see their work that wouldn't normally be able to see it. And a lot of it is women, you know, that they're supporting. We have another woman who, she works with plants. That's her jam, you know. But she also rescues old, unwanted things and makes them into pots for these plants. So she's recycling all these things that are thrown away, you know, and I think that's a fantastic thing. But they're all beautiful things, like old china and, like, you know, dolls for kids and stuff like that, like become plant holders for the kids later to be able to appreciate plants, which I think is fantastic. And then in the back area of our shop, you have the two layers. You have the lower layer, which is the front, which is the retail. And then upstairs, because I'm a lover of art, we have our gallery space, which also will be holding all kinds of meetings and workshops. But we support local artists in our area with, you know, showing the public what we have to offer, what our neighborhood has to offer as with artists. And I'm amazed about the beauty that I've seen coming through. I mean, right now I have my installation in there, but I am about to curate a couple different people's work here. And I'm just shocked. I'm shocked about the beautiful things that are a little Selwood produces, let alone other parts of Portland. And then we have two other makers that are in the back. One is a leather maker, and her product is called Purpose Handmade, and she does everything by hand. She makes leather bags and totes and plant holders and all kinds of beautiful things with her hands. And then we have another artisan. She does macrame and jewelry, and that's her product, or her company name is Lucia Handmade. And, you know, she's a dynamite woman herself. She does a homestead school at her home, a homestead preschool. So she's already teaching children how to, like, you know, break ground and, like, learn about plants and, like, what it means to actually create a homestead, or, you know, a home, you know, a real home, using, like, from the earth, you know, just like farming and, you know, just getting them used to being in nature and understanding what it means to build or create a home from scratch, you know, not necessarily urban, but, you know, also understanding the city, because that's what, you know, cities start off as homesteads, you know, so, you know, that's a really beautiful thing. And then, of course, what really birthed this whole process was our chocolates.
Chocolat.
I love them. I like telling people these days that this little box birthed this whole store, because it truly has our passion for plants and our passion for our chakra systems, our yoga, with the chakra systems, the core,
right,
once
the
again.
Core births, right?
Yeah, the core has birthed this beautiful shop. And it's actually going to, we're actually going to have a chocolate shop called Nibs Chocolate House. And that's like, you know, if you open a cacao pod and in the seeds, the chocolate nibs are what make the chocolate. So it's all about the center places, you know, it's all about like the deep, what do you find in the center? What can you create from your, like, from your center place? You know, people love chocolate.
It's always dark in there, too. It's always dark.
It's always dark in there. Dark.
Yeah.
Darker the better. That's what a lot of people say. They love their dark chocolate.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, like, once again, I'm, like, working with seeds and plants. And this plant is manifesting all these beautiful things, you know, around it. You know, like, everything goes good with chocolate. People want chocolate and plants. Chocolate and jewelry. chocolate.
Well, you guys have a lot of different plants in these chocolates, too. Like, they're literally packed full of really impressive
They're botanical chocolates, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we don't use cane sugar for our chocolates as far as what we sweeten with, because right now that plant needs rest. You know, it's been overused. So we use other forms of ways of sweetening our chocolates, like with dates and honey, and when we're doing vegan chocolates, we generally don't use honey. We'll use agave or dates and things like that, brown rice syrup. So other ways of sweetening the chocolate so people can actually taste the cacao itself, and also the herbs that we use. So like some of the herbs that we use are like dandelion root, you know, that's a great one for the root chakra because it gets you deep in the ground. And it's like a very root, it's a very hearty, strong medicinal plant. Mm-hmm. And it's powerful. I mean, people have been trying to kill that thing forever and it still pops up through concrete. You know, like, and it's strong medicine. It's a really amazing plant.
Yeah.
Like the fact that we treat it like a weed is foolish.
It's propaganda. You know for certain that that's an intentional choice. And I found a book some years ago that was written in like the 40s that was all about that. Like, this was chosen, guys. This is not a mistake.
You know, I mean, just, you know, or like one of the other, chocolates for our heart chakra, for example, it's sweetened with stevia and has like hawthorn flower and hawthorn root, which is really good for the heart. You know, nettle is really, really good for, you know, for your heart, for your respiratory. I mean, it's a beautiful plant, you know, and to introduce people to these beautiful herbs through chocolate, and then they can investigate more. They're like, oh, hey, you know, I heard ashwagandha is really good for my mind. It's adaptogen, you know, and that's for like the crown chakra, you know, or like, hey, I heard that eye bright is really good for the eyes. It's your third eye, you know, and ginkgo for my mind. You know, like, so a lot of people don't know about a lot of these herbs and how they can help you. And they're right there. Like, a lot of places they're grown like wild, you know, and to be able to identify them and be able to know that you can use them for your own healing. I mean, if I can find any way to do that, you know, I'm going to try. That's the way I look at it. And I see, you know, when I've worked with people recently, that chocolate's been an amazing way. They're like, wow, I didn't know anything about these plants until, you know, I got this random box of chocolates, and now I'm learning all about, you know, I'm learning more about, you know, how these plants heal and help, and I can grow them myself in my own pots, and, you know, I mean, it's been fun. I mean, helping people learn more about their own healing has been fun, and I've been able to learn more about, you know, my own personal healing because of doing this, too, you know, making self-care my work has been... It's been very enjoyable, let's just say that.
And letting your core release a lot of that energy, I imagine, you know, years and years and years of focusing on the core and learning how to work that energy, you really have a lot of energy in you that you need to release. And it's creative. So it's necessarily so that you're going to just keep doing great work, girl. You really have found a way to, you know, just here right now where we're at standing today, to pull all of your stuff all into one beautiful, you know, IO package that's like special from you.
IO package. Hey. Nice. I like that. And it all stems from my center. Like, that's the way, you know, I realize that that's like been my focal point, you know, is from my core, from my center, and learning how to pull in all this energy, and now learning how to release it.
Yeah.
Like, and it being okay to release it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's definitely been magical.
Well, I love having you on, and I definitely wanted you to come because we're friends, and I'm excited what you're doing, and I want to share energy, but I really wanted to hear that. I really was interested in your experience and, you know, awareness and just what you were feeling about the core work because, you know, plants is, you know, a part of what speaks to me, but I understand that the belly of the beast, man, like that's where everything is birthed out of is of this living, giving earth. And everything that comes from that is pretty much within this same opportunity of healing. Like it all works together. And it's just beautiful. The variety of ways that people approach feeling good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, when you think about your core, it's like where your immune system lives.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's where your personal spark that makes you who you are lives. Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating. Like when you think about what your body is, your body, most of your own body isn't you. It's all the organisms that work to support you.
Yeah.
Which is that spark that gave them life.
Mm. Yeah, I would say it's not me at all. I would feel totally like my body is a tool for certain. As is everything that the earth births, right?
Right. Well, but I mean, they're even finding out, like, on a, like, scientific level, you know, they like to, like, break it up like that, right?
They do.
That, like, you literally are this just one tiny little, like, minuscule thing. Like, and all the bacteria and all the muscles and everything that's formed around that. Mm. I mean, to think that you are so tiny, your spark, your flash. Mm. And you know, your light, powerful. Basically, your light.
Yeah, the most powerful thing.
Right?
Frequency.
And you've developed this body so you can transmute more of this light to everything you're around and to, like, really create. Mm. Not just create, but also curate, you know? Define and, like, shape your environment to support and help other life and other light. You know, and I think we tend to forget that that's so important to be able to pay attention to those things too, but also remembering that it's okay to release those things.
Yeah.
You know, don't be fixated on just doing one thing. Like, know that you can let go and let somebody else do it too, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the whole aspect of sharing and working together and cooperation and learning to give yourself rest is so important. I think us as mothers, and us as people of color, we tend to forget that we can rest.
Yeah.
We are allowed.
Mm.
We are allowed.
And it feels good, too, when you just break away.
Yep. And I have to remind myself because I am a workaholic.
Yeah.
And I know I need rest, you know.
Well, we got a lot more work to do together, my friend. And
oh, yeah.
I'm excited about seeing really what you were just talking about there, like how we are able to find the ways to really, truly work together to build something that can really help a lot of people. And it's not even that we're not already really, truly doing that. But, you know, I think for both of us, you know, it's all about that work. It's about what we really see. And so I'm just excited for the days, and I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss being near you.
I'm going to miss you too, girl. For real, I'm going to miss you.
Yeah. I'm really thankful that this is the last show here and that you were able to bring your energy on, and we'll bring you back onto the show. And I'll see you in Phoenix soon.
Oh, yeah. And I'll definitely go to the sun because now that I know there's someone there that I can be like, you family, I'm coming to sleep on your couch.
Come on down. Especially even about this time of year. This is
You know, I'll be like, hey, I need some vitamin D therapy. Can I come see you? You know I'm going to be like, tap,
you,
tap, tap.
You already know. I mean, that's my people. My home is open to my people. And, you know, you my people. So it's like that. It's just a beautiful thing. I'm thankful, really thankful for our days in Selwood. And even just how the relationship and bond has grown. You know, as we just keep walking each other home, girl.
Yeah, that's all we can do, right?
Yeah,
that's all we can really do.
All right, Iomide, we can find you on social media. Najo is on Facebook, and you can also, really what we want to do is check out Melu PDX. Melu PDX on Instagram. And Humans of Color is also on Facebook. I'll actually just upload all of this. I'll type all of this out.
Yep, Humans of Color. And you will be able to find Melu on PDX on Facebook as well. We're all updating our goodies as far as our websites and everything. We'll be having a website here shortly, and it will be Melu PDX, probably .org or .com shortly. And, you know, I'll pass that information on to you when our website is up. But
awesome.
Yeah, you can always send me an email at melupdx@gmail.com and, you know, ask me questions, or if you're interested in, like, you know, displaying art, you know, I'm always interested in having new artists come through our spot, and, we're all about that, all about art and chocolate, so.
and get on the chocolate website, chakralot.com, chakralot.com. The chocolate is amazing. It's really delicious, divine, sensual, expressive, rich. It's delicious. So check it out. Ayo, thank you so much for being here, love.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll have you back sooner than later.
Oh, awesome. Can I spell Melu for you?
Please.
That way, it's MILIEU, mm-hmm. and then it would be PDX dot
wherever,
or PDX
Instagram,
at gmail.com.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
That's how you can get a hold of me for sure. Yeah.
All right, love.
Woman, thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate it.
Oh man, it was beautiful to even just hear your voice. You already know I love your voice. I miss those voicemails.
Hello.
Hey. All right, girl. Thank you, Ayo. I'll just cherish this one. I appreciate it, love.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
All right, sweetie. All right, friends. Again, thank you for tuning in. Taking a little break for a few weeks, and I'll be back in the spring. But you know how I do. We may drop a bonus episode here or there. So peace, family.